Welcome to Lesbians Who Write with Claire Lydon and T.B. Markinson. Conversations about writing and lesbian fiction. Join us as we draw back the curtain on the writer's life.
Hello and welcome to episode 23 of Lesbians Who Write with me, your host, Claire Lydon. Before I introduce my co-host, this time round we're going to be discussing how we come up with titles for our books and for our characters. But before I do that, I want to introduce the intrepid, the impish, the immense and often infectious T.B. Markinson. Hello, T.B. How are you today?
I'm trying to come up with a definition of impish on the spot. Like, my brain is failing me. But I'm going to trust you that it's okay. I'm going to trust that.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust it was, yeah. I mean, after last week when you tossed out hefty, which I appreciate.
See, I thought I'd go impish. That implies, you know, you're nimble. You're light on your feet. Immense. Intrepid. I thought they were pretty good. There was a lot... There was a lot of bad I words, gotta say.
Well, I'm good. I'm just gonna go with the flow. And hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode.
Yes, yes, indeed. Hello, and it's great for us to be back because the last three episodes we recorded early because we've been traveling the world, frankly, all of July. But we're here, it's July the 23rd, and we're ready to record again a fresh episode. So what have you been up to this week, TB?
Oh gosh, it's been a crazy week. Well, since we last spoke, I've launched a book. I attended the GCLS conference in Pittsburgh. I attended to my partner who had surgery and it didn't go so great. And now I'm prepping to launch another book. But I'll let that news sit for a minute. And then as soon as we finish recording this episode, I am getting in the car and heading to the Big Apple for the Romance Writers of America National Conference in New York City. So it's been a bit hectic on this side. Mm. How about you?
Mm. You have been going conference crazy. So GCLS is the Golden Crown Literary Society, which is like the lesbian book world Oscars. And how was that?
It was a lot of fun. I was able to, this is the first time I attended the conference here because I was living in the UK and the travel was always a bit extensive. But this was the first time and it was nice to be able to meet so many authors in the flesh. And I did a reading from my novel, A Woman Lost, which hopefully I wasn't too nervous when I did it. Yeah, it was one of those things that I've been working on putting myself out there this year and making more connections in person, not just email. So this was another success, I would have to say.
Awesome. That is amazing to hear. And yeah, GCLS is one of those, the big lesfic jamborees with awards and panels and shizzle every year. So I think next year it's going to be in Albuquerque, which to anybody in the US will always bring up that Prefab Sprout song. Do you know about that?
I actually don't. Why is it every time you have a reference, I have no fucking clue what you're talking about?
Well, I didn't really expect you to know this one because, you know, it's just a song by Prefab Sprout and it's called, I don't know what it's called, but there's a chorus and it goes, Hot Dog, Jumping Frog, Albuquerque. There you go.
I'm surprised I don't know that lyric, but now if I go to the one in Albuquerque, I will spread the news.
Yeah, spread the hot dog jumping frog news. Well, my week, it's been a bit crazy as well, because I am prepping to launch A Taste of Love, book two in the Village Romance series, which is very exciting, because your launch has gone very well, I think.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with it. So it's going well, and I am so excited to have your book be available for everybody. Listeners, I have read the book. It's fantastic. Everyone should rush out and buy a copy as soon as it hits the stores.
I'd totally back that statement up. So yeah, there we go. If you were in any doubt, go out and buy it. Or read it on Kindle Unlimited if you are a subscriber there, because yes, it is on there. But yeah, so it's been a bit hectic because my wife and I, we were away. We went to a wedding in Germany And then we went on a road trip around Germany, Poland and the Czech Republic, which was absolutely brilliant. We went to all these places that they're not on the tourist map. So it was really great. Went to Dresden, went to Wroclaw, which I'm sure is not how you say it, but I think you probably say it Wroclaw, but we tried, did try to Google it to see how you said it, and we couldn't say it. I don't speak Polish. So, but Poland, that city was amazing. It was hip. It was cool. The food was incredible. So, yeah, it blew me away. So I want to go back there for sure. So that was really great. And then we've come back and got back Sunday. And then I've been running around the last 2 days trying to get the book ready, doing the last minute proofs, uploading it to Amazon, and then it's launching tomorrow, July 24th, so it's very exciting. And then this weekend, I'm going to Hebden Bridge for Happy Valley Pride, so I've got a couple of days to finish off the launch, and hopefully everything will be all right. And then I jump on a train and go up north for 4 hours, and I'm going to be on a panel with 5 other lesbian authors, so that'll be fun.
That sounds great. And I completely forgot you were doing that this weekend. It's kind of because when I launched my book, like I was getting in a car and driving to Pittsburgh. So it was kind of a weird thing. Like when you launch a book, because it is a very crazy time, I had to like drag the laptop and everything. And you're kind of doing the same thing. You're dashing out of town as well.
I know. The life, the crazy life of a writer. Why is it that everything is all at the same time? You're going to conferences like every other weekend at the moment.
I know. And I was chatting with a friend this morning and I was like, I just feel like a punching bag right now. Like every time I turn around, I'm like, okay, this is off my to-do list. And I get like, oh, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? I'm like, oh my God.
But no, I mean, it's good, isn't it? It's good to be challenged and it's good to have a busy schedule. And it's exciting, actually. It's always nerve-wracking, as we've said before, launching a book. You always have that thing, why is no one buying it? But then the answer is probably because it's been up 2 hours and no one knows about it, Claire. But, you know, I'm powering through that feeling.
It's one of those things where, like, you know, you upload the book and it does take a while for the Amazon algorithm to kick in anyway. But those first few hours, you're like, all right, have you been refreshing your KDP dashboard? And be like, come on. Even though you haven't announced to a soul yet, it is actually out there.
I know. Why is no one buying it? No, I haven't actually today because I've just been too busy trying to get it all done. And now I've got the next 2 days to try and get the print book signed off and get that up. So I've just been too busy. And then I had my personal training session today. And so, yeah. I was thinking today, this is a good example of self-care in authorland, because, you know, I could have blown off my personal training session and thought, no, I'm too busy. But I meditated this morning and I went and did my personal training. So it's good balance, isn't it? What on me?
Look, congratulations. I, on the other hand, have just let everything slide.
You know, I did also feel that I had to go to the personal training because I've been on holiday for the last 10 days, drinking a lot of German and Polish beer and eating, you know, not eating terribly, but just eating, you know, out every single meal. So
yeah.
I feel a little bit heavier than when I went away. So it's time to start working it all off, isn't it?
When I get back from New York City, I will start reining it in, but it doesn't make sense to, well, I guess it does because you probably should always rein it in if you're out of control. But right now I'm like, you know, I'm going to go to New York. I'm going to have a fab time. And when I get back, I will deal with all the consequences.
I think that makes perfect sense because I'm thinking August. August is the month.
Maybe we should have like an accountability in August. We can like check in each time and be like, all right, did you do well this week?
Did you not eat ice cream? So let's get on to ice cream before we get onto comments, because I've got ice cream news, right? So here's a fun fact for everyone. In Poland, ice cream is called Lody. Now, L-O-D-Y. I'm sure they might pronounce it differently. Probably do. Lody. I don't know. Anyway, but I really did like the German language, and I really did like the Polish language just for some of their words appealed to me. But anyway, there was a lot of Lody. They're big on Lody. There was Iranian pistachio, raspberry and buttermilk. I tried banana and chocolate, and that was a bit disappointing, I have to say. The thing is, I really don't like banana. I love banana. I really don't like chocolate ice cream very much at all. It just, I love chocolate, but I hate chocolate ice cream. So.
Wait. Can I just ask, what the fuck is wrong with you?
You know, you'd think I would like chocolate ice cream, but I don't. I really don't. And there was one time, my wife always laughs at me for this, I sometimes forget. So when I was in Italy about 2 years ago, I went into a gelato shop and they said, what flavour would you like? And I said chocolate. And what about the other? There was a double cone. I got a double cone of chocolate and then I had to throw it away because I realised I don't like chocolate ice cream.
You may have the worst memory ever. Who doesn't remember that? What ice cream they like?
Thing is, I don't have ice cream that often, despite you know, evidence to the contrary on this podcast. I really don't. And so when I go into a gelato shop, I'm like, I'm a bit baffled. But I do now know, and hopefully I will remember, that I don't like chocolate ice cream. So the banana and chocolate one, it was a bit disappointing, I have to say, on all fronts, on banana and chocolate front. So, but they had some amazing flavours in Poland. They also had lavender and black lilac.
Ugh, why?
They also had sunflower seed, which was a bit random, I thought. And they're big
but
on
not lavender.
And they're big on Kinder Bueno ice cream over there.
Did they have mint chocolate chip?
No.
Oh my gosh! This is a travesty, people. I need to move there and educate them about the wonders of mint chocolate chip ice cream.
But I do need to also, because it's my launch week for A Taste of Love. Did I mention it's my launch week for A Taste of Love? And my lead character, she runs an ice cream shop. So I wanted to reveal the last flavour from the book, TB. Are you ready?
All right. I've liked, two out of, I don't remember how many. So I'm kind of nervous. All right. Hit me with it.
Is buttered popcorn and burnt caramel.
I could do that. Mm. Yeah, I could do that one. I love popcorn and I love caramel. And mix them together.
Yeah.
It's like caramel popcorn.
So there you go. So I'm glad that we've rounded off this Test TB's ice cream likes and dislikes segment of the podcast with a win. Yes, a win. So all these flavours are included in A Taste of Love. So, you know, one thing, if you are reading that book, you will need ice cream and you will need gin.
And again, I just have to stress how much I loved your book. And really, everyone should buy it.
All right. We'll stop selling it then, everyone. So, is there comments? Should we get on to comments?
Oh, gosh. We haven't recorded for a bit, we have quite a few comments. So, I'm going to crack through them as well as I can. So, and if I missed a comment by people, I'm sorry. We will get on it as soon as we possibly can when I get back from the Big Apple. Okay, so first of all, Claire, you set Twitter on fire. Melissa commented about, I can't remember what episode it was now, but it's the continuing education about the nipple centering. I mean, apparently this is taking women by storm because none of us really knew about it. I've been asking, and it's kind of a strange question, but I have been asking people I know. Only people I know well enough to ask if they censor their nipples. I'm not going up to people on the street. But so Melissa said she was listening to it while getting ready for a night out, and she censored her nipples. So she wants to thank you for that. Roseanne chimed in saying that she'd never heard of it, and she also did say this is one of the best podcasts, so thank you, Roseanne. Carol from Lesbi Reviewed said nipple centering has changed her life. Mira was laughing out loud about nipple centering conversation and was getting strange looks while wandering around. Ursu chimed in about volunteering to help center people's nipples, so, you know, we'll see what happens with that comment. And then we had some comments from other people on the website. Kay says she listens to our podcast, and she was doing it while she was drafting, and she may have dropped some papers because she was laughing so much. Thank God there were page numbers. Carol was back. She had a question about the banoffee ice cream flavor. Did it have chunks of banana in it, the ice cream? Because if it has chunks, Carol's out. But if it's just like the flavor, the banana flavor, she's still in.
Well, the thing is, Carol, it's an imaginary ice cream. So if you
keep saying that, but people take this very seriously, Claire.
If you want it not to have chunks, it will be chunkless, smooth, right. Smooth as something that's smooth. I'm a wordsmith, you know. It can be whatever you want it to be, Carol.
All right. She still is on your side about the mango and ginger, which is odd, but hey, I'll give it to you. JJ was back. We mentioned that neither one of us had used Reezy, but she has experience with Reezy, and she appreciates that they vet editors. So if anyone's looking for – I know some people were asking questions about how to find a good editor. So she said Reezy has done well. One of the drawbacks she did mention is that they're a bit more expensive. So you have to weigh that into your calculation. We had an email. Oh, I had an email to my author account from Nelly, who said, in our last episode, we were talking about how 2019 is treating us, and I said I had a bit of a rough year. And she wrote a very kind email saying that she doesn't want to add pressure. She will sit back and wait for my next book, and she doesn't want me to rush through it and pretty much kill myself trying to get next book out. So that was very nice to hear. Another reason to be open with your readers and fans, because they are very understanding when things kind of go difficult in your life. And we had an email from Mandy. She is hooked on our podcast. So thanks so much for listening, Mandy. Claudia also emailed us saying that we're releasing our episodes too fast. She's a bit behind, but not sure how we can change that.
I mean, they're not going anywhere, Claudia. So you can just listen at your leisure.
Rachel also sent us an email saying that she also is having a difficult 2019, but she does look forward to our episodes each Monday. So I'm glad we can cheer up her year, and I am wishing her the best of luck for the second half of 2019.
Yeah, we're wishing all the authors and all the readers a great second half of the 2019. Let's go, team.
And then we got an email from Kathy, who she says she found our podcast by mistake. So, hey, I'll take that. Welcome. Welcome, no matter how you found us.
Run, Kathy, run.
And she's binged on all the episodes and has learned a lot. Carol commented on episode 22. Again, Carol's from Lesby Reviewed. People, you should check out that site. I'll actually include her link in this week's resources. And she's glad that you mentioned Helen and Nikki from Bad Girls. Actually, we got quite a few comments about how people like Helen and Nikki.
Yeah, I've also got quite a lot of comments about Helen and Nikki, because you didn't know them, did you? You haven't seen Bad Girls, but it was the series to watch back in the day in the UK. I had a couple of comments on Instagram. Natasha says she remembers the moment her young teenage self ushered her mum into her bedroom to watch a scene with Helen Stewart, and her mum asked her if she thought she might be gay. So, you know, Helen and Nikki, they've got a lot to answer for. But as I said to Natasha, if there's a couple that can bring out your gay side, it would be those two, because they were amazing. Also, on that episode, we got a lot of comments about Callie and Arizona from Aoife, from Allison, from Pix, from Moose, from Mirelian. It's my turn to butcher some names now. And from Sunkissed Scribbles. So thank you all for all those comments on Instagram. And yes, who doesn't love Calzona?
I also have to add that Carol on Twitter called you, Claire Lydon, a legend.
You're not the first, Carol.
And all right, I have one final comment on my side. It was Mira on episode 22. She said she had giggles from the start. She also said that you mentioned the movie Booksmart that you haven't seen it yet, and I hadn't even heard of it because I apparently live under a rock. But she said it was a brilliant movie, so we should both track that down. And I apologize for rushing through all those comments, but we just wanted to get caught up.
Oh, yeah, we had a lot to catch up on, and we definitely should go and see Booksmart. Not together, obviously, because you live in Boston and I live in London, so we're a bit far away. But we could go and see it and then discuss it. But I've heard nothing but good things about it, so I am going to track it down. I have a couple of other comments. Erica on email said that she loves the idea of a gin and tonic sorbet. It's the best flavour ever, and she wants to come over to my house and try it. Erica, I haven't made it, so you can bring it over if you like. You can make it yourself. But I think she lives in America, so again, maybe you could go to TB's house.
I don't even really boil an egg correctly, so I don't recommend anyone come over to sample anything I create. It's a well-known fact in my household not to eat food I make.
And Whimsical Beanie says she's been listening to the podcast in her garden and loving it. Her neighbours have too, especially the lesbian sex scene episode. So, yes, spread spread the word far and wide, people. Let's get, I think everybody should be really annoying and go on buses and public transport and just listen to our podcast without headphones. What do you think?
I'm all for it. No. Help spread the news, people. Yeah.
Comments over, ice cream chat done. Let's get on to this week's big question, which is, how do we come up with the titles for our books and for our characters? So, TB, how did you come up with the titles for your books?
I don't have a set method. I know from my very first novel, A Woman Lost, it wasn't actually originally called A Woman Lost. It was called The Adventures of an Idiot in Love. And when I started trying to picture the cover, I was like, that's a really long title. I don't know if that's really going to work. So I went to dinner with my partner. This is when we were in London. We went to one of our favorite Chinese places near us, and we just started brainstorming. My partner said, well, what's the main theme of your main character? I'm like, well, she's really lost. I mean, she's just lost. And so my partner is the one who actually came up with the name for that book. And once I got that book title, since it is, there's a series, all the other book titles in that play with the same theme. There's usually a woman in the title. So that made it easier. So that was a group effort. And there was some beer and wine involved when we crafted that title. But some other titles were a bit harder for me to come by. And I kind of put a call out to beta readers and editors, like, you know, can you help me craft a title? Because it's not coming to me. Okay, and then I had two series, the Miracle Girl and The Chosen One, where I had the series titles before I even started writing, which was so much easier on me. Because The Miracle Girl, that's part of the whole mystique of the novel. Like, why is she called the Miracle Girl? It's a huge part of her backstory. And I won't tell you guys why she's called the Miracle Girl. You have to read the book to find out. And in The Chosen One, it's the same kind of premise, where the reason she's called the Chosen One is her backstory. And so it just worked out well for those two series to know that. But I don't think for listeners who are thinking of writing a novel or a novella or a short story, I'm not sure you actually have to have the title before you even start, but it is something you should keep in the back of your mind when you are crafting your story. What do you think?
I would love to have my titles before I start. I think it would be a great thing to happen. I'm just looking along all my books, and there's not one of my books that I had the title before I started. Maybe London Actually. Because again, like you say, series books are slightly easier to craft because you know that it has to follow a certain template. And so I know with my London Romance series that there has to be the word London in the title. But I didn't think that through before I started the series because I didn't really know it was going to be a series when I started it. So that kind of created problems for me because my initial one, London Calling, I came up with that right at the end. And then this London Love, I think I came up with that myself, but A Girl Called London and The London of Us were, again, taking friends out to dinner, buying them food and plying them with wine, and then saying, any ideas? My dad, bless him, came up with a hilarious list of really bad titles, but I think they did sort of prompt a few things. So I did give him a bit of kudos in that. He is 85. So his titles are, he was like, The London Underground with Women or something like that. And I was like, yeah, it's good, Dad. I like where you're going.
But that's great, though, because even it kind of gives truth to the fact that there are no bad ideas, because even though if the idea is bad, you can kind of play around with it and you kind of know what is resonating with people and what they're picking up on when you tell them what the book is about. So you can, even though you didn't choose that exact title, which I kind of find humorous, and I might have to ask him next time I'm struggling.
You should. But, he's retired. He's got loads of time. He came up with about 20 titles for me, which I did find very sweet. And from those titles, I think a kernel of an idea formed. And then, so he did help, definitely.
Yeah,
so yeah, it's like you said, it's not... It's like if you're trying to think up a... I remember this from my journalism days. If you're trying to think up a title for an article, which is the same thing, just write a lot of words down that match the topic that you're trying to put a title to, or just look at a thesaurus and see what other words you can do, and then it can spark an idea. So yeah, definitely just sit down and scribble a load of things down, or go out and ply your friends and loved ones with booze and food and hope they come up with something for you. That was how I did my London series. The other thing that I generally tend to fall back on if I can't think of anything is song lyrics, because song lyrics are things that are cluttering my head 24/7. I've got so many song lyrics in my head, and there's not room for much else. So London Calling, song. You're My Kind, song. All I Want for Christmas, song. It Had to Be You, song. Do we see a pattern? We do. So yeah, but I think that's the same for a lot of things, isn't it? Mining other forms of creativity for ideas. You know, when you're writing, you can pick up things from movies and other books and TV shows that you think, oh, that's a good idea, as well as just from life. So I think it's fine to just look at all other things and see where you can pull an idea from. And sometimes I think I'm being really, really original, and I'm not, as in twice in a lifetime. So when I launched that, I thought, yeah, that's a great title. And then two other people launched Lesbian Romances with exactly that title within a month. What are the chances? Thrice in a lifetime, not twice in a lifetime.
I've been seeing that happen more and more in Lesbic, actually. Since I do the newsletter, I've seen that title before, I think. And I'll go on Amazon and look. I'm like, oh, okay. So yeah, I've been seeing that quite a bit, actually. I do think it's interesting that your London Calling series started with a book that you didn't think was going to be a series, and A Woman Lost, I also didn't know it was going to be a series. And so I struggled trying to cram woman into every title.
There you go, you see. It's better to plan things, everyone. This is what we're saying. Because it's like, yeah. You know, I will be launching book 6 in the London series, which is called Made in London. And I have got one more title for my London series. So there will be a book 7 because I've got a title and I have to use it. But after that, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I can come up with others, but it does put a little bit of a straitjacket on you. However, there again, it is, you've got a formula, so it's slightly easier. I wish I was better at coming up with titles. I wish I could have it, you know, right from the off. So, and I'm trying to do it at the moment for the next book I'm going to write, so the one I've started to write. But I just can't come up with that. And every time we go out, me and my wife, I'm like this whole holiday in Germany and Poland, I'm like, okay, we have to try and come up with a title for this book. And we were just sitting there staring at each other like, I have no idea. I've got mine's blank. And it's just like, why is it so hard? The thing is, you either have to sort of think, do you want to have a title that fits the genre? So if you're going to go for romance, you could do one with the word love in, or kiss, or girl or woman, those sort of things. Or you have a title that's very unique. So I think Kiki Archer's last few books had that, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, Too Late, I Love You. That's a great title. Or mm-hmm. What's the one she's got out now? Say You Love Me Again. See, she's using the word love in the titles, but she's making it unique, which I mm-hmm. think is a good thing. But I think I've given up on trying to be unique because I'm not.
Oh, you definitely are unique. Don't sell yourself short. But have you called your dad, or do you guys say ring your dad? I don't know. I can't remember how you, I've been away too long. But have you called your dad for some possible titles for this next one?
I haven't, you know, and maybe that's what I should do. Dad, it's about two women. He'll go, again?
But this time, can you share with us, like, some of the gems?
I should, shouldn't I? Yeah, because bless him, he's words are his thing, right? Because my dad was a journalist, so I've taken after him in some with my writing career. And he does crosswords and puzzles all day long, so he loves words. So okay. he loves coming up with titles. I'll get him to. I'll report back. It would be like my dad wrote a porno, but my dad wrote some book titles, which is, you know, slightly better. Is it?
Maybe we should add that as a segment. Claire's dad writing a porno. This is what he came up with this week.
Do you know that my dad wrote a porno podcast?
Wait, what? Oh, yes. For a second, I thought you said that was your dad.
No. I'm not just saying dad wrote a porno. He didn't. But somebody's dad did write a porno, and then there's a podcast about it, and it's apparently very funny. I haven't listened to it, but
I haven't listened either, but I have heard of it. We probably should give it a listen, because I bet it's entertaining. And I do have to recommend, if people do take your friends out and get them drunk and come up with book titles, if they can start sharing some of the title names with us, just for fun. I mean, it is a nice way to spend an evening with your close friends. How to plot your entire career. No, just kidding. While drunk.
I do though. I have a friend called Gary. Hi, Gary. He's brilliant at coming up with book titles. So I take Gary out quite a lot. In fact, you just reminded me, I must get in touch with Gary. Gary, I need another book title. Can I pick your brain again? Here's some wine and pizza. So let's go on to characters. So characters in your books, what about characters?
How do I come up with character names? This is a really good question. Only one series, The Chosen One, were the character names really easy for me to come up with because they all had to be Scottish names. The family immigrated from Scotland way back in the day to the U.S. And so that was an easy one for me. So I just Googled Scottish names and came up with those names. All the other character names, usually in a book, they go through like three or four different names before I finally settle on one. I remember reading a while back, and this is when I say a while back, this is when I was in college. I think it was Dorothy Parker. I'm not exactly sure which author it was, but Dorothy Parker sticking in my head. And the way she came up with character names was she looked in a phone book. And I always found that quite interesting. But in today's world, I mean, we don't really have phone books anymore. At least I don't have a phone book in my house. So I kind of use that to a different variation. When I'm coming up with character names, I have a huge collection of books. Imagine that, an author who likes books on their shelves. And I skim the covers for author names, and I cobble together certain books I like. That's how I come up with character names.
Okay. So I'm interested that you said that you go through three or four different variations. So when you're writing a book, then do you your characters start off as one thing, and then you just do a find and replace and replace their name?
Oh, I have done the find and replace in the past, and I don't recommend that.
No, remember to tick the whole word box.
Yeah, I don't recommend that. It's terrible. It's usually, I have the main characters. I have their names. Right. I'm in much better touch with the main characters when I start a book. It's the secondary, it's the supporting cast. I just don't know until I get to know them a bit more. I wouldn't say every single supporting cast character has gone through different names, but a significant amount of them have. Now, what's the Claire Lydon way?
Well, again, I wish I had a way. I'd love to be able to share this amazing way I've got to choose character names. I think when I first started writing, it was just like, you know, names that I liked. So Jess, I've always liked the name Jess, so that's what I called my lead character in London Calling. And the other lead in London Calling was originally called Siobhan, but she didn't end up being called Siobhan, and she got changed very last minute because I sent my book out to a few American readers, and they told me that American readers wouldn't understand the name written down. It's too hard.
Can you spell it?
S-I-O-B-H-A-N.
Is that Irish?
Yeah.
I think it's a beautiful name, but I can't remember what Irish author I was listening to at the London Book Fair many years ago, and she had the same issue where she loved that name and she included it in the book and the editor kicked it back and said nope.
Yeah. So I changed Siobhan to Lucy, a universally known name. I'd love to still have a Siobhan in a book, and I don't know if they were right or they were wrong, the beta readers, but a couple of the Americans said it, and so I kind of listened to them, and it was probably the good thing to do, especially for my first book. Maybe when you get, you know, a bit more established and you've got a few more books and readers know you a bit more, maybe you can get away with it. I don't know. But I think Siobhan is a name I've seen in books, and it doesn't trip me up. And I think probably selling our readers short, saying that they're going to just be too confused. What is this word?
Yeah, I have to say, especially over the last few years with the whole increase in streaming of British shows and Irish shows over in the U.S., I think, especially, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I think people are becoming more used to not just different names, but different word choices as well.
Hmm.
So I'm not sure we have to limit ourselves that much, no. But I mean, you can do a test case and see how it goes, but
Maybe I'll put Siobhan in as a secondary character. But, you know, yeah, there have been other occasions where I've had to change my character names. So, for instance, I've now got a spreadsheet, actually. So I've got a spreadsheet with all my main characters' names that I've used and secondary characters. And I just need to remember to learn to look at it because I've got it, but I just ignore it. So with You're My Kind, which I released in March, the main character was called Millie right up to the last minute. And then I realised that I had another Millie. Not a main character, but quite a prominent secondary character, and so I decided to change it. But by then, she was Millie in my head, so I changed it to Maddie, which was okay, because then it's like, okay, it's still, yeah. So I think that a couple of Millies slipped through, so in the editing process, but by the time it was launched, it was all Maddie, so that's good. But it is difficult, and I have had one of my editors, so in A Girl Called London, that is the story of Tanya and Sophie. And Sophie's surname is London. And Sophie's original name was Chloe. But when I gave it to my editor, she said Chloe London is too close to Claire Lydon and people will think it's me. Isn't that weird? And it never occurred to me. And I thought, okay. So I changed it to Sophie. And I made Chloe the lead character in London, actually, I think. Not the same person.
I never would have thought that, but I mean, obviously she did. Yeah. Or I'm assuming your editor is a she, sorry.
Yeah.
No, that would not have dawned on me. But yeah. I do get that comment a lot from readers when they read my books and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you've gone through this. And I'm like, I haven't. it's a fiction.
But I think we've had this conversation before, is that we favour certain letters and sounds, right, when it comes to names. So, like, I think I'm drawn to names beginning with J, G, K, S, and C, and probably a few others. But I guess it's just how your brain works. You keep going back to the same thing, which is why I created this spreadsheet that I ignore. But I'm going to have a look at it for the book I'm about to write.
I need to make a spreadsheet for all my character names, but it's hard, especially when you have a supporting cast, because sometimes you just mention, like, a waiter or something, and they'll have, if it's, like, a regular restaurant your characters go to, it's kind of, it clues the readers in when they address the waiter as the name without having to say, I come here every week, this is why I know the waiter's name. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to include some of the backstory without doing an info dump. So it is hard to keep track of all the characters.
No, it is. It is. And I think, you know, as long as they're not main characters, you can have the same person. Not the same person, the same character name. For instance, Aunt Paula was quite a big character in Twice in a Lifetime, that really original book title. And she was like quite a big secondary character. But the woman that one of my secondary characters slept with in London Calling was also called Paula. But, you know, that doesn't really matter. But clearly, I've got a pull towards the name Paula, and I never knew.
Wow, I didn't know you had a thing for Paulas.
Neither did I.
But all clearly, right, listeners, anyone named Paula?
I've got a thing for Paula. And I think the other way that I find my character names is Facebook. So what I do is I consider how old the characters are. And then I've got a very big family, so I'm one of eight, and I've got like 19 nieces and nephews. And they're all mainly, well, I think my youngest nephew's 17 and my oldest one is 5 years younger than me. So there's a very big span of ages, and that is mainly what my characters are. So they don't know this, but I go and stalk their Facebook pages and see what all their friends are called, and then I just pick a name.
That's not creepy at all. Not at all. See, what I do, if I need a character name from, and I want to see if it was a popular name of, like, when they actually would have been born, I will Google that information. What is it? Babynames.com? Something like that.
Yeah.
And I'll go and type in the year and see what, you know, the top names were. So, but unless, of course, you want a character name who has a crazy name or what you hope is an original name, then obviously this type of research won't work for you.
No.
But, but I do try to kind of stay with it, or sometimes I do have like a name that will be a family name, and then I'll have to explain why they're named that.
Yeah.
Because it is part of their backstory.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of thought usually goes into it. I know I said that their names will change, and that's the reason their names will change, because I'm I'm thinking about it more. There are times when I insert a character name, or I'll insert like just three capital X's for a character until I know them more, so I know their name. So when I do the search and find, it doesn't replace the other random words when I forget to tick that box, which has bitten me in the ass, should I admit, more than once.
But also, as well, sometimes you'll have a character with a name that you don't like, maybe, or has gone out of fashion. But then you actually warm to the character and then they make you like that name more. Now, that happened when I read your book, A Shot at Love, because Clive, who's called Clive anymore? But by the end of the book, everybody loves Clive, don't they?
Oh, Clive is, I love Clive. You don't like the name Clive? I've always liked the name Clive.
No, I don't like the name. It smells damp. That's what the name Clive is for me.
I did not know that.
It's a bit mouldy.
Oh, poor Clive.
I know, but Clive was not mouldy, so that's good. And there was also, I went to school with a girl called Lucy Pickup. What a great name that is. And I keep meaning to put that in a novel, so I must remember. I'll change her first name, but Pickup, great surname. And I also love...
Like Pickup, like the truck?
Yeah.
Spelled just like that?
Yeah, spelled exactly the same.
That's awesome.
No. And my character in Twice in a Lifetime, Sally McCall, I love that name. I think that's my best character name I've ever come up with. And that just came to me.
That's a strong name. Mm. That's a very strong name. Sometimes the names just kind of come to you and they're hits. And sometimes, like you said, your editor will kick it back and be like, no.
No. That's the only time that has ever happened. And one other thing we should say as well, like you said about nicknames. So sometimes a character can have a nickname, but that can get confusing for readers. Once Upon a Princess was a case in point for me because it was Princess Olivia, but her incognito name was Charlie. And that did get a bit confusing when I was doing all the backstory and everything. And how should I have it? Should I have it as Olivia or Charlie? But I think we got it across. I do quite like characters having a nickname.
Yeah, I have a character in The Miracle Girl. She goes by JJ because her actual name, Jamila Jean, she's not very fond of it. And the reason her parents gave her that name is because they were trying to please both grandmothers. And so as soon as she was born, she was always known as JJ. And I don't think readers know her actual name until much later on in the book. And then I have a character in A Woman Lost. Lizzie's mom is... how do I say this? A piece of work in the not nice way. And so Lizzie only refers to her by a name that she's crafted in her head to give herself distance from her mother. She doesn't usually think of her as mom or anything. So, and I'm trying to think in the whole A Woman Lost, the first book in the series, if I ever mention the mom's name, or I may not mention it until book two. But people in the reviews always just call her the Scotch Lady because that's what Lizzie calls her.
Right. Okay. There you go. So that is a great roundup of, I think, how to get character names and how to get book names. And go forth. Name your characters. Name your books. And if you've got any ideas, send them in to TB and I because we always need them, right?
Yes. Please let us know if you have gems. I'm not opposed to stealing.
So that's the end of this episode. Join us next week when we are going to be discussing what stories from our real life have we included in our fiction. So you're not going to want to miss that one.
Uh-oh.
Tune in then. Have a great week.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Lesbians Who Write. Listen in every week for more conversations on writing and lesbian fiction. And you can make sure you never miss an episode by signing up to our newsletter at lesbianswhowrite.com. Also, if you could take a moment to leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast, it would help more people to discover us. Thanks so much and see you next time.